Hey guys, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. So go get your free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/onefinalscare. We're back.
You say that every time.
Did I? Oh, I kind of thought I was coming up with something new.
There's another episode where you go, we're back.
Really? Yeah. Oh, man. I thought I was being new and cool.
We could do it again. You ready?
No.
Do another intro.
We don't edit. We just do our thing, no matter if we are just repetitive or not.
I feel like that's what I usually would say, and you'd be like, no, we follow the rules.
What? What is that accent that I have? We follow the rules. Don't you disobey my rules. What? Oh my God. Well, I said we're back because I was trying to think of something quickly to say this is a continuation of last episode.
Of XX.
Double X.
Triple X.
Dos Equis, whatever you want to call it. Not Triple X. No, that's a whole different kind of podcast.
The X. I was thinking of the wrestler, not the.
Mm-hmm. Okay. See? Oh, see.
See, we a frat boy.
Hey, let's check your
co-host.
Browse history.
Not on this computer?
Search history.
No,
yeah.
My iPad.
Your iPad? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to touch that
don't
then.
Touch the iPad, bro.
That should be a thing. Don't touch the iPad.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, but so we're back because we're covering the X, or not the XX, that's a band. XX, the anthology series of four short movies done, written, directed, and starring women.
Produced by women.
And since, you know, these are kind of fun to cover and we didn't want to drag it out too long, our episode, we broke this up into two episodes. So in last episode, we covered the first two short stories, which number one was The Box, and that was written and directed by Jovanka Vukovic. And based on the short story, we didn't say this before, but I didn't know it last time. It's based on a short story by Jack Ketchum, and I totally dig his novels. I mean, he's a really great writer, so I wasn't aware of this one. I'm gonna go check that out now. And then The Birthday Party, which was written and directed by Annie Clark, also Saint Vincent, and if you don't know that she is Saint Vincent, and co-written by Roxanne Benjamin. And so today we're gonna do the third and fourth stories. So if you are just tuning in for the first time, you should go back and listen to last week's episode, or all of them, you know, from the beginning, if you haven't listened to them. If you're just starting with us, welcome.
Yeah, might as well start with last week's episode, then come back to this one.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll give you some time to do it now. And so just hit back on your iPad.
Don't touch my iPad, though.
But did I say iPad?
Yeah.
No, I meant iPhone.
Ow.
And then click on.
But it's so little,
the screen.
Episode 10. You don't like it, like.
And then listen to that, and then come back to this one.
Yeah.
All right, we'll wait.
All right,
go now.
Ready? Do, do, do. No, you wouldn't be able to listen to us at the same time.
Well, then yes, when you
this doesn't work.
Yeah.
You just have to hit stop, okay? But don't do it right now if you've already listened to the last episode.
Am I still doing the sexy voice?
I hope not. I just know, well, I don't know if I'd call it sexy. I'd just call it like quiet voice. But maybe that's what you call it.
I just been told that, that's all.
What?
I'm just repeating.
I can't hear you.
Just repeating what people have told me.
Well, so here's the thing. I only notice it when I'm driving and I'm listening to our episodes, which I do. And when I like the road noise, I can hear my voice, but I can't hear yours all the time. So you just got to talk like me.
Okay.
Or to level it off, I'll talk
yeah,
like you.
That.
Yeah, nasally.
Or I'm joking.
Or I'll talk like you. I'll just be like, hey, yeah. Mumbles McGee.
Do an Asian. Yes, do an Asian accent.
I'm not going
to
do that. Dangerous.
Cause, yeah. Cause
danger I'll, zone.
I'll take a clip of it and send it to the Asian version of NAACP. I don't know what that is, but.
Oh, God.
How you like that beer?
I like this beer.
You barely drank it.
Oh, no. I was just savoring it. I knew we had a whole episode to record, so I just had a few sips, and I'm going to take some more sips.
Shout out to Against the Grain Brewery. Bloody Show is the name of the beer. And it's got like this Jason looking dude with a
mustache on top of his mask. Yeah.
And he's squeezing the blood out of his heart. No.
It's a blood orange.
Out of the orange.
Yeah, because there's blood orange zest in this. I didn't really pick that up until I saw that on the can.
Yeah.
But it's good. What is it, a Pilsner?
Lager.
It's a lager?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, well, interesting. Lager with blood orange, yep. And then also, what else does it say? I don't know. What is that? It says like a tribute to the language barrier from international collaboration and inspired by our affinity for a Danish runner's scarf and shorts. I have no idea what the fuck that means. Then it says this Bloody Show is a crisp, tart pilsner drenched with the juice and zest of blood oranges. The result is a refreshingly tart lager with big citrus aroma worthy of even the hippest of Danish drinkers. What's up with their fascination with Danish people?
But it says lager at the bottom, see it?
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. But what's up with that?
I don't know.
What's there? Because it's from where? Like Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
I don't get the Danish connection.
Yeah.
Jason Voorhees.
Yeah. I guess blood. Someone's trying to be
blood orange.
Cute. Yeah.
Yeah. They probably have like different illustrations on all their different cans.
They do.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then. Well, thanks for the beer, man. Okay. So before we get into the third and fourth stories of this movie, anthology movie, I wanted to quickly say, I thought it was a timely episode or a good episode to mention a book, an anthology horror graphic novel that if you guys are into short stories or horror or graphic novels, one that you should check out is one I found that I recommended to Minky and he loves it.
Yeah.
And apparently we both own a copy, though I can't find mine anymore. So he swears he gave it back to me and that he bought his own copy. I'm not so sure.
I did.
But apparently both of our memories are going. So who the fuck
I will
knows?
Show you my Amazon receipt.
I think you actually did.
That's right. I screenshot that. I'd be like, look at this. My
You're
copy.
Like, see, don't I
touch,
bought it.
Don't touch my iPad. Don't touch my book.
Don't touch my iPad and don't touch my book. So there's this. I saw a... it's also fitting because we're still kind of on the heels of Women in Horror Month episodes that we did. But I saw an Cute. Article.
On the heels. I get it.
I saw an article. It was like the top 20 books written by females that you should read right now. And so this was the only graphic novel on it. And it's done by Emily Carroll.
The format of the book threw me off a little bit because mm-hmm. it's not shaped like a graphic novel.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and I thought maybe it was a children's book mm-hmm. or something.
Mm-hmm.
I misjudged that.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, but
you sure did.
Okay, calm down. I think I was like literally 12 pages, 13 pages in when I stopped and I went and ordered my own copy.
That's awesome. Well, so it's called Journey, or no, it's just called Through the Woods. I'm sorry. And by Emily Carroll, I think I already said that. And it's a collection of five stories. And I'm pretty sure
that's it?
Yeah, there's five.
Oh, I thought there was more.
I think so. And let's see what else about it that you should know.
The XX should have just gotten remade this into a film.
You would have liked that better. Don't be mean. So it's described as like fairy tales gone seriously wrong. It's all kind of like Victorian era. They're all like old timey stories. Yeah. And they're really fun. The illustrations are really cool. Mostly black and white, which I'm a sucker for.
But they don't have to be, right? Like
what?
Some of the theme of the stories mm-hmm. just happen to take place.
Like the drawings take place in older time period.
You could massage it to be modern.
What I was going to say is like all the illustrations, I loved the illustrations. You've shared a lot of graphic novels with me. I'm not a huge graphic novel.
Yeah. You didn't read that book.
I didn't, to be honest, you put the fear of death in me that if I never brought it back, you'd be so pissed. So like, I just didn't even bring it with me on the trip.
It's
still at
that?
My house. Oh. Yeah. You were like, I just got this. So like, don't do anything to what is it, by the way? What is it?
Identity crisis.
So anyway, you've shared a lot of graphic novels with me. You've kind of gotten me into them. And I don't know. What was the one that you made me read with all the spirals? Oh my God, that thing was so big.
Uzumaki. The Japanese one.
Right, yeah.
Uzumaki.
And it's like I find myself, I'll start reading and then I just start really looking into all the details of the illustrations. And then I'll be like on one page, like one of my favorite illustrations for like 5 minutes. I'm like, wait, I gotta keep moving. But so Through the Woods, I really enjoyed the illustrations. I enjoyed the stories. They were really fun. And
a lot of people casually read graphic novels don't pick up on this, mm-hmm. but the pacing and the panel work is really amazing. Like,
yeah.
So certain comic books, or a lot of comic books, they just like fill up panels, right? And then you just draw them, whatever. Japanese comic books, or foreign comic books, or certain they create tension at mm-hmm. each page. Like, she does that with this.
Yeah, it's amazing. She does.
Like, when there's a reveal, she'll make it so that it's on the next page.
Yeah, it's a page
right?
turner.
And not on the certain small square or whatever. And she creates that drama as you're flipping through the page. I think that's a very skillful artist or designer.
Yeah. Well, and that goes into that, you're not just a writer, you're not just an illustrator, you're like a good storyteller through the pages of a book.
She writes and draws?
I think so. It's been a long time now, but I'm pretty sure if I'm not correct, someone can correct me. But anyway, so Emily, we really enjoy your book. And so we thought that was a good tie with this movie, the anthology series that is XX. And should we get back to that? Should we get back to the stories?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Get back to it.
It's getting old. No,
yeah, it is. All right. So story three.
Don't Fall
is written and directed by Roxanne Benjamin. So again, she was also part of story two with Annie, but this one's just hers.
So I have to say for me that this was the horrorist of the horrors.
Is that a word?
No. I don't even want to say traditional, but like traditional horror monster.
Yeah,
horror
it was.
Story.
And she,
I enjoyed it.
I think we referenced a tiny little movie, not a movie, I'm sorry, a tiny little like video clip that we watched before or after, I can't remember, but most of the directors of these films. And they kind of all describe each of their movies slightly differently. So as we said before, like the first movie, The Box, was said to be something like a Twilight Zone episode. Roxanne here for this episode, she said she wanted to write something that felt very Tales from the Crypt, which I can see that, so to your point, like, so The Box was kind of otherworldly, like you don't know what's going on. It's kind of
open-ended,
strange story. Makes you think. This one definitely has that
more action
and it's definitely got a creepy ghoul kind of thing in it, so, or a monster or whatever. And so definitely Tales from the Crypt E. It's horror-ish and it's Crypt E. Or what did you say?
Horrorist.
Right?
Out of all the horrors.
And I'd say you're right about that. So it felt very quick. This one felt really short.
I don't know if it was, but it went by quick.
Yeah. So it's called Don't Fall, and starts with four people hiking what looks like, and I'm just guessing, Arizona, but it looks like it's in the Southwest Desert. Yeah. And I immediately thought that we were going to see another kind of like nature versus people kind of film, because it's Don't Fall, and they're hiking.
Yeah.
So.
What do you mean nature versus?
You know,
like 28 Days Later?
No.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. That's not 28 Days Later. Oh my God.
No, like that movie that you that I told you I watched, and you said you had seen it, where like the husband and wife, or the couple goes hiking, and the guy gets eaten by a bear.
Oh, Big Country.
Is that what
it's
called?
Or Something Country?
Something Backcountry, maybe.
Backcountry.
I can't remember. But
like that movie, by the way? We talk about this yet?
No, we didn't talk about it. Don't know.
Ending is like unforgettable, right? Because up until that ending,
yeah,
I was like, it's okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But then ending, I was like,
with the bear?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty rough.
I was like, ooh, this is a lot gorier than I thought it was going to get.
Yeah.
I mean, it went from 0 to 60 in like 2 seconds.
Right.
He's like skin hanging, jaw hanging.
We don't give other movies away unless we're about to tell people. So stop. He's
like, what does he say? He's like,
I love you.
Yeah.
I think he says I love you.
I don't know. I was like, holy. They blew all their budget in that one scene.
Oh, I know, right? Well, the rest of it is just them hiking through fucking woods and getting lost. So
I know, but I was like, holy crap. That was I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
It was a nice surprise.
Yeah. There's a lot of movies like that. There's another movie that I randomly saw one day about another couple who's out hiking and it goes terribly wrong too. And I can't think of the name, but it's got one of those
Hills Have Eyes.
No, it has nothing to do with like anybody who's going to try to kill them. It's literally just
wrong turn.
You know, broken ankles and lost in, you know, hiking mountains, and they wish that they were back at home, and you know, it doesn't work out well. Yeah. It's a very grim ending. Anyway, you know, like water mountain, water. You know, like when people are stuck in the water, that's what I was saying. Like, don't fall. I just kind of thought it was, I didn't know what it was going to be. But, all right. They're hiking.
We thought there were two couples, but there are four people, right?
Well, there's one brother couple.
And sister and a sibling.
I don't know who the fourth guy would be. I guess he's just a friend. So there's two girls and they're dating. They're a couple. And then the one guy is one of the chick's brothers. And then the other guy must just be a friend, I think.
I thought he was like a guide.
No.
At one point.
No, to way. No,
I mean, like, not like a guy they hired, but he was like, he knew.
The brother, Paul. Paul's the brother. So anyway, they are walking and they're talking. And Paul's like clearly the cut up and he's kind of the, what you want to call it? Like the jokester. He's saying like, oh, watch out for the translucent scorpions. Or he's scaring our main female lead.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I should say, as we did with the other movies, it's starring Brita Wool. And she's been in a few things, but I'm not familiar with her. So anyway, she's our main lead actress. And I'm forgetting her name at the moment. What's her name? Did you write her name down? Gretchen. Yep.
Okay. Gretchen. Yeah.
So anyway, Gretchen, her brother is kind of like making her scare, and she's like, "Oh my God, stop talking about these scorpions. Stop scaring me. I just want to." And then they come out to a very beautiful, like they're at the top. They made it to the top of something,
it's
and
like
then
a little small rocky mountain.
Yeah, and they're looking out at this beautiful desert. Yep. And Paul's like, "See, I told you, I'm the best like tour guide ever. That's why you thought that." He was like, "I planned this trip out. I told you we were gonna get amazing views." And they're like, "Yeah, you're right." But
so when you go up to the top of a mountain or a cliff or whatever, what does that one person? Does that one person in the group always wants to do something?
Yoink. Yeah, scare you. Yeah. So Gretchen's girlfriend like tries to scare her. And she's like, "Oh my God, please, like don't do that ever again."
She freaks out.
Like, you know I'm afraid of heights, right? Yeah. And but they also kind of make a comment that they can't believe that they let Paul plan this trip because he's always like planning some crazy trips or getting them lost or whatever. So I don't know why
it's a throwaway story.
It's not though, because it kind of does come up in a little bit.
Why, how?
Well, I'll tell you. Don't you worry. and that's when Gretchen, the sister, she goes something like, "Paul, you used to tell me that story where if a spider bit my face, it would lay eggs in my cheek." Yeah. And I was like, "Oh my God, everybody's like older cousin or older brother or whoever used to fuck with them and tell them that." I know I did. Or people told me that. And so anyway, after her girlfriend like tries to make her think she's going to fall off the cliff, she runs down and goes like, and cries or something. She was like,
Under a shade or under another rock.
I was so scared though. And like, "You have to be nice to me. Like, you're my girlfriend." And so they turn around. Oh, the girlfriend starts like looking past her, kind of like, and she goes, "Oh my God, what do you see? A scorpion?"
Freaks out. Yeah.
And no, she sees petroglyphs.
No, I meant she freaks out. Gretchen freaks out. Yeah. Yeah. And she turns around and she's like, "What the hell?"
Yeah. Like what are you doing? Yeah. And the girlfriend's like, "Oh no, I'm seriously, like I seriously see something." And so they see these drawings. They look like hieroglyphics or something, but the guy corrects it.
Cave painting. They look like cave paintings.
They are. And so obviously if we are in the Southwest desert, these are Native American Indians. And and of course they did the joke. It was like, "These must be done by Indians."
Yeah.
And the girl goes, "I think you mean Native Americans." So
Americans.
Anyway, so they, you know, for finding something this ancient, they kind of look at it for like a hot second and they're like, "Well, we should make it back to the camp." I was like, okay, really? I would have been freaking. I would have been like, you don't understand. We just found something no one else has seen. I would be taking pictures of it.
But how would you know that was like no one else has seen that?
I don't know. Like, it was just, that would be really, that would be a cool find. I wouldn't just be walking away like 13 seconds later. But anyway, it had, what was the drawing? The drawing looked like four little figures with kind of like a demonic.
Well, there's three of them.
Three?
Right. And then one in the middle had horns. And then there was a one in the back that was bigger.
You're right.
Also had horns. Mm-hmm. So it was like,
okay, foreshadowing.
Yeah. And then there was three streaks, like finger streaks,
yeah,
on the right side.
Yeah.
And they looked like they were painted with
blood. They said, this looks like blood.
Yeah.
And then, okay, bye.
Yeah.
They're
like, peace out.
Whatever.
Let's get out of here before it gets dark.
Yeah.
Because one of them says, like,
I think
before
you're right.
It gets dark, yeah.
So they go back to their campsite, which is, it looks like they've been driving around in an RV, and they've got their, you know, their lights set up, and they're having dinner, and Paul's smoking weed, and they're having a time. And Gretchen is continually like making comments like, well, if we were glamping like I wanted to do, which is like glory, what is it? What does that mean? It's like camping but with cabins and like showers and shit. It's not camping like this. She wanted to be, she,
I did not know that term until,
oh yeah,
you just said it.
So that's what that means.
Okay.
And it's for people that don't actually want to be sleeping in tents outside,
like me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So she was like, you know, we could be there by now with our showers and like real trails and not fear of getting lost everywhere. And her and Paul keep going back and forth, and Paul's like, yeah, but you won't have these views that I found you. And then the other guy, the other guy in the group, he makes the comment, and this is what I was saying. He goes, yeah, but let's be honest, Paul didn't find this place on a map. He found this by begging some guy at the gas station to tell us a place that like no one comes to. So that was the, oh, great. What did he get them into? All right. What?
Okay. Nothing.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he was like, you're right. I did do that. But come on. Like, look at this place. So I think Gretchen says something like, should we even be here? Like, are you kidding me? Like, what if you got us on some like ancient burial ground or something? So I think, you know, she's obviously a bit fearful that they should not be here. So I think she says she's scared now.
No.
Gretchen does.
Okay.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. And then she, I think earlier she had hurt her hand somehow. And so she shows it to her girlfriend. She's like, my hand's really starting to hurt. And she goes, oh, maybe it's like getting infected. And she's like, infected. And then she's like, you know what? I'm just going to go to bed. So she gets.
Oh, well, okay.
Wah.
You just skipped the whole scene. But it's,
I did?
It's not that important, though.
What did I just skip? Say it. Tell me.
Oh, like Paul goes
I'll
to
drink
pee.
My beer while
he
you
like
tell
fake
it.
Pees. Or no, he doesn't fake pee, but he goes to pee. And then like, and then they start talking about, they're freaking themselves out, talking about like how,
oh, yeah,
what that
yeah.
was. Mm-hmm. And then he acts like he's taken, like kidnapped, whatever. He,
like, yeah.
And then Gretchen comes over to like, Paul, stop fucking
it was
around.
Like, Paul always does this. Yeah, I'm not gonna freak out. And then she started freaking out.
She started freaking out and he jumps out.
Yep.
I mean, it's not important, but yeah.
Well, like I said, he's the cut up.
Yeah,
he's
adds a little more juice,
yeah,
into the story.
It's like clearly clearly he's always messed with her her whole life, and clearly she's just never wants any part of it.
Yeah. But again, like it doesn't like that doesn't lead to anything. So
yeah, I guess it's
character. It's like a really kind of cardboard character development.
It adds to the irony of what's about to happen. How about that? So Gretchen goes to bed. Her girlfriend, her brother, and the other guy, they're just kind of still hanging out, I think smoking weed. I think Paul goes, man, I'm really stoned. And then the scene ends, and it's nighttime, and I think everybody's sleeping in the RV. Gretchen wakes up.
She wakes up.
I have that she wakes up in a cave.
She does.
Yeah,
she has a dream, mm-hmm. right? She has a really bad dream.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, she, like, sees this demon-looking guy, right? Oh, no. She, like... You're right.
Just wakes up. She wakes up, she looks around, and she's not in the RV.
And she's in the cave. That's when she sees.
And she looks at her hand. But first, she looks at her hand, and her hand now, you know, the hand that
veiny.
She said
it's veiny.
Hurt. Yeah. It has like black veins, if you will, like as if she got like, you know, some venom poisoning, and it's like chasing through her veins throughout her whole hand. And she was like, looks down at it. She kind of freaks out. She looks up and she sees it in the cave drawing. All right.
It was different.
It was a different cave drawing. Yeah. And then this figure appears kind of in the moonlight at the edge of the cave. And it totally has like horns and long fingers.
It's like it looks like whatever. It's a devil.
And you're only kind of seeing the silhouette of it, if you will. because it's backlit from the moonlight, and she starts panicking, and he's like kind of like jolting towards her like really creepily, and she screams.
He jumps on her.
He jumps on her, and she screams. And so I think the other guy's name was Jay. I kept missing it, but I think Jay goes out to look for her. He hears a scream, and he sees her. He finds her, and she's kind of hiding her face, and she's like
half in the bushes,
like hiding in the darkness, and she's crying, and you can hear her start to say, "We shouldn't have come out here," but it's like her voice is a little different than her usual voice, and she's sobbing.
There's grunting and there's things cracking
noises,
and,
like bones breaking, and then the camera looks at her spine, and it's this really crazy like fucked up spine.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it looks like the spine is like just on top of the skin, right?
Yeah.
You see all the grooves.
Gross.
You can see all the little, you know, it's growing.
Mm-hmm. And then it like the camera pans down.
Fingers
are long.
Yeah.
And then
they're all messed up.
Well, then you see her whole face, and her face is like very demonic. Her eyes are kind of sunk back in her head. Her like brow bone is kind of over her eyes. And she's gone. Like now she's no longer Gretchen. And when she opens her mouth, it's just you see these tiny little crazy looking sharp teeth. And he just takes off running because I think he knows Gretchen just left the room. So he starts running, and he gets in the RV, and he just immediately tries to start up the fucking RV and leave. And they're like, "What are you doing?" They wake up, and they kind of rustle too. And the girlfriend is like, "No, I am not leaving Gretchen. That is my girlfriend. I love her." And there's even like a, what are those things called? Like the filmster, photo strips from like photo booths. There's kind of one like right next to them when they're talking. So it's like, they're really making sure we know that they're in love, you know, Gretchen and her girlfriend. And she's like, "No, like I'm not going anywhere without her." And then Paul's kind of saying the same thing. He's like, "Dude, it's my sister. Like you can't make us leave." So he tries to turn it on. Paul runs off of the RV to go get Gretchen.
Well, he starts the car, and she's in front of it, remember?
Right.
And then,
so
like,
they see
what
her.
The hell?
Yeah.
Like, she's
It's like, she's right there. She needs help.
She's hurt. She's sick. So that's when he runs out.
Yep. Yeah. And now, when he runs out, he sees her in the lights of the car, and she now, those black veins are throughout her entire body. And then I think she like pulls her head up or something, and he sees her face. And this is when shit starts hitting the fan.
And then it cuts back into the RV. Mm-hmm. And they're freaking out, right? Her girlfriend's freaking out, and the guy's like, "No, you don't understand.
She's not Gretchen.
Yeah, we have to get out of here." While they're having this conversation, Paul
you're hearing
comes
screams
through the
well,
window,
yeah. and you start to hear like screams and shit. So
no, he comes through the back window. His whole body
bloody
shatters and comes through, and they see his body, and there's a hole in his chest.
Because what I'm saying, before he gets thrown through, it almost sounds like she's eating him. Like I remember hearing like mouth chewing, like bites or something like that. So
I think
she's
I don't think
she's either like cutting him up or whatever.
It's definitely not eating, right? Because
he would have been more eaten.
Yeah.
So she was like fucking his body up and threw him in. He comes in, he's all bloody. To your point, there was like a hole in his chest or something. Maybe she stole his heart, who knows. And and then
like they freak out, and then they go, they run out the other way
to the front of the RV.
The girl makes it out, but for some reason the door closes behind her
and gets like locked.
The guy can't get out, he's locked. So he looks over
to where Gretchen just threw Paul's body, which
Gretchen
is in the back window.
And Gretchen is inside.
Well, first she like sticks her head. Jumps on top of the RV. And I think she sticks her head, her
the
face
hands, the
in
hands
her hands.
Come through.
She crawls in. And then he starts screaming, and he's like trying to get outside. And the girlfriend's like looking at him like, "Oh my God,
scene."
And then Gretchen's just right behind him.
Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to talk about, I mentioned it to him while we're watching. So, what's Roxanne?
Director? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? She, when she shoots Gretchen, like in a bunch of the angles for the monsters, they're bracketed perfect. They were
really
cool. Really
cool.
Mm-hmm. Especially later on when she starts to come down the side of the mountain.
Yeah. But this was a cool, and I remember the camera was kind of like behind Gretchen, you know, the Gretchen demon, behind her, like looking past her shoulder to the guy staring outside wishing he could get out of the RV. So it's like your POV is almost that of Gretchen's like leering over him about to get him. So you know like his demise is here.
That was like that tension of like, oh, I'm stuck in this little tiny RV with a monster.
Grody.
In the same, like, in a, you know, It's like when the worst. It's like when you were playing with Oculus and you're like,
oh my God, I know.
These robots were coming after you. You were like,
yeah. Mickey made me play
Robot Recall.
Robot Recall tonight. It's a little nerve wracking. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty real. Especially like having the sound right there in your ears and just everything. It was really crazy. So
just imagine being in that little RV with that thing coming after you. Yeah.
Not okay with that. So basically Gretchen's girlfriend is like looking still inside and she's like, oh my God, like she's behind you. And whatever Gretchen does to him, it's like he explodes because there's just blood, like everywhere, a blood bomb, you know, on top of the window and everything.
She tears him up.
And so Gretchen's girlfriend starts running. Okay.
And what happens when you do that? In the horror movies?
Oh, you fall. Do you fall?
And then you fall and you break your...
Don't fall, leg. Bitches. So she falls off of like a cliff.
Mentioned that she actually says that. Remember? She goes, don't fall. She like...
Yeah, yeah.
Scares
when she's when yeah. she scares her. Yeah. So she falls off of a cliff and guess what? She falls real hard on her leg, breaks the shit out of it. Yeah. Like there's bones sticking out. And I was like, well, she ain't getting away now. I mean, let's just be honest. So this is what you were talking about.
When she looks up.
The next couple scenes are pretty cool. It's like she looks up. And so imagine right now if you look up and if you see a monster coming kind of like over a cliff.
Yeah.
So you're viewing it like that. You're not viewing it.
And with a moon behind.
Yeah.
Moon behind her. And she's like slowly like coming down the side of the mountain.
Yeah. And
that was really cool.
Basically, she now has like Batman or Spider-Man capabilities, right? Spider-Man is what I was trying to say. Like she can traverse down a mountain like facing down forward like a fly or whatever.
Yeah.
And so she's kind of hovering over the cliff and you're just like, oh my God. And so her girlfriend looks up. She's like, Gretchen, it's me. You know, I love you. Like, please, please, please. And I think she can tell like Gretchen's not there anymore. And then she just screams. And then this demon basically just runs down the mountain really fast. And then it's over.
And then like Gretchen's girlfriend gets killed. After she gets killed, there's another cave painting on the wall and it's slightly different. You missed that?
No, I saw it. Oh. It's like dun dun dun.
Yeah, it's like yeah.
So what was the cave drawing now though?
It was like it was three again. And then there was a different size, different painting of demon in the back. Like it was like a possession.
Yeah. So
it's always three.
So basically don't go out in the Southwest desert where you're not supposed to go because you can get possessed.
Yeah. It was a fun monster.
Yeah, I'd say it was fun.
Yeah, episode.
I liked it.
Short story.
I think
good special effects. Good, good directing.
Pacing.
Yeah,
it was quick. Got to the point.
Yep.
I think I'm wondering if I would say that this was my favorite. I mean, it was just kind of like the most, I think, horror-ish, whatever you said, horror-ist.
Horror-ist.
Wait, did you say that? You said that. Yeah, you said this was the horror-ist. Yeah. So I guess. Maybe that's the traditionalist in me. Who knows? But I know the last one definitely, or the birthday party one definitely didn't feel like horror to me. But
well, it wasn't.
No.
Yeah.
I guess not. So, what do you think?
What about this one?
Yeah. Did you enjoy this one?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was my favorite out of the four.
It was what?
It was not my favorite of the four.
I mean, I think other people said it was the most forgettable of the four that I was reading online a little bit, which is kind of weird.
What?
Yeah.
Second one is the most forgettable.
That's what I think. Yeah. I guess it was like the most artsy. I don't know. The second one, birthday party. But, well, so we've come to the final one. Yeah. The final one is called Her Only Living Son. This was, as referenced in our Women in Horror Month episode, special sode, was done by Karen Kusama.
Karen Kusama.
I guess you would ask yourself, did they save the best for last, in their opinion? I wonder if there was any, how much thought went into the flow of these.
Usually.
Right?
Usually.
Like the main event.
The main, it was the longest.
Yeah, it was,
and
I think.
It was the most famous director out of the four.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that right? Or is it just because you don't know the other ones as much?
Okay, you're right.
And I don't really know the answer. I mean, right. I know...
But doesn't that already mean that she's more popular than the other three?
Maybe.
Because I know all... No. right? I mean, like, Aeon Flux, Jennifer's Body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty big.
Sure.
Even though they weren't box office superstars.
Yeah. Well, so this one is starring, again, another actress that I'm not really familiar with, but I think she also has a pretty large filmography list. But Christina Kirk is the lead actress in this one.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
I've never seen her before.
No, I know.
She looks like a younger version of the mom from 6 Feet Under.
Yeah.
If you could picture that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and she also kind of reminds me, you know who she reminded me of? I'm going to forget her name. The woman who's in all the American Horror Stories and she has the eye, the different colored eye. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You know, I told you, I jumped off that after season two. I was like, this is awful. I can't stand this.
Some of them are worth watching.
You know, what I give praise the about the TV sucked. Show, the production art for every season for that TV show is amazing. It makes me want to watch the show, but then I come to my senses. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But like the posters for the TV show is amazing. I don't know who it is that's creating those things, but they're top notch.
Frances Conroy.
I'm right here. Let me.
Right here.
Your fingerprint ridden.
She actually has like her eye. It's funny because it's talk about like when you work things into
the Kids' Choice Awards.
Just like the bald guy that apparently you worked into your improv the other night. They work her eye issue into movies a lot.
Oh. I was like, what?
Mickey was telling me about how he did improv the other night. Right. And somebody was bald. And so one of his quick improv thinking, what did you say? Like, where'd all of his hair go? What did you say? Or what was it?
Oh my God.
Come on. But the guy went with it.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yes, and
no, we're both boss. I was like, oh my God, your explosion, your whatever, the fire that you created burned. Okay, this is stupid. Okay,
well, whatever. Yeah. All right, well, so here, so that's her, Frances Conroy.
That's the 6 Feet Under mom.
Oh my God, you're kidding me. Okay, I never. You know,
look at her IMDb. It's 6 Feet Under. Oh, yeah. That's a mom from 6 Feet Under.
Oh. Yeah. Funny. Hold on. 6 Feet Under cast. Oh, that's just fucking hilarious to me. It is. Yeah. Oh my God. That's so funny.
I just didn't know her name. Yeah.
Great minds think alike, even if we take different roads to get there. Yeah. So, anywho. All right. So she plays, not Frances Conroy, but Christina Kirk plays a woman named Cora. And Cora is talking to a doctor.
But before you get into that.
Oh, sure.
So
go
this
right
is,
ahead.
Story-wise, I think it's more complex out of all.
Most
all
complex.
Of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
They leave a lot of things in the beginning. Just like you were saying, up close, she's talking to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about an event that occurred. Although we poked some holes in that, didn't we? We're like, wait, what happened to this character?
Well, I don't know. Like, I wrote down that she said something about little Andy and Jenny. Swear to God that's what she said. But if she didn't...
Anyway, there's this conversation that's happening and we don't know what's going on. And this doctor, bizarrely, handing her money, telling her to basically go run, go hide yourself.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to go somewhere where they won't find us.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, I'll keep moving if I have to. And he goes, what did he say? He said something like, yeah, you know, I think he said like some people are just really bad. They're having a really like, I guess, very important exchange. You can tell he's being very compassionate over whatever. And she's very in need.
Yeah.
Like she's in dire straits. And the way that I feel like I remember the way that it was filmed too is that he's kind of like above her and she's kind of down, like the camera's kind of looking down at her and
at
kind of
one
looking
point,
up
I
at
thought
him.
She was talking to like a priest.
Yeah, probably because of that, because of the camera angles. But yeah, so anyway, it's definitely, and you can also tell because of the filter on the footage, but it's a backstory. It's like back in the day. Like you can tell it's kind of hazy or something.
On the edges of the film or whatever, edges of the screen. It's hazy, foggy, and the light is blooming.
Right. Yeah. So he basically, she's like, you know what? No one's ever going to find us. And he goes, Godspeed, Mrs. And she goes, nope. She's gone.
Yeah.
So she wants to disappear. She doesn't even want us to know her you know, when her last name.
When she says she's gone, she's not describing like physically, like she disappeared. She meant like that person.
That
is
person
not,
yeah. no longer exists yeah. because I have to go into hiding and change yeah. my name or some yeah. shit, right? So, so we wake up in present day.
18 years later, she says.
Yep, it says yeah. 18 years later, and let's see, the screen, it actually says like her only living son, which is the name of the film. And I think interestingly enough, they show that text while we see a boy laying in bed sleeping or like about to wake up. And I think the morning progresses as such that the mom is kind of inside the kitchen looking outside of a window, and her son yeah. starts playing with their big German Shepherd dog after she wakes up and gets up in the morning. And she sees him playing, and they're playing. And then the dog does something like bites him kind of a little too rough. And he's like, stupid dog. And like,
oh,
off screen.
I thought he was just like playing with the dog with a stick.
Yeah, but he like beats the dog or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I know that. He eventually
That's
gets there.
That's what I'm saying. They're playing. And then I think the dog is coming at him and kind of like play biting like my dog does. Yeah. Like, right? And I think the dog does it so that it pisses him off. And off screen, you're watching the mom's reaction, watching her son do something like beat the dog.
She doesn't
with a
see
stick.
It either.
Well, she hears it.
Yeah, she hears it. He takes the dog around the corner of the house, yeah. around the other side. Yeah, you hear the dog whimpering, and yeah. he's definitely hitting the dog.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the stick. Yeah.
So, after that, I guess he comes inside, and they're making breakfast together, and he's in charge of the eggs, and he's like breaking the eggs in the bowl, and I was like, ew, but this has happened to me before, when an egg has. I think when it's actually been, what you might call it,
fertilized.
Yeah. yeah. And then if you break it, there's actually some blood in there. There's like a bloody membrane. So that happens to him. He's got like three egg yolks and there's a bloody membrane in there, and he kind of grabs it with his finger and he like puts it in his mouth,
licks it.
And the mom's looking at him, but doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
And,
so we clearly know that this kid is disturbed
a little bit.
Yeah. And he has possibly serial killer tendencies.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
And so now they're
Oh, by the way, this kid, spitting image of
Heath Ledger. It is haunting.
Holy crap. Like, he looks like Heath Ledger of 10 Things I Hate About You version, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so weird.
Yeah, we're like, holy crap. Like,
I wonder if he's related by any means. I mean, he looks like it, but.
I doubt it.
Anyway, so. They're talking in the morning, I think after they're eating breakfast or whatever. And she's like, so what should we do for your birthday tomorrow? You're going to be 18. And he just goes, let's go see dad's new movie.
Oh, they have this whole banter like, oh, now you're grown. You know, and he's like, I can't wait to get out of this house. Or what does he say? Remember they talk about like being, he talks about quickly how being freed
yeah.
from her, whatever, her grasp or whatever,
huh.
her protection.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, so he's like, let's go see dad's new movie. And she's just like, no, like we're not, why would you want to go see that? And he's like, look, we've been in hiding from him for so many yeah. years. Like the least we can do is like, at least go let me see a movie of my dad. And she like, says, look, we're in hiding from him for a reason.
He's a playboy.
He yeah, always chose that over being your father. Yeah.
Never around.
Yeah. Like who would rather do that than be a father basically. Yeah. And so he storms out. He's pretty pissed off and he's like, peace out, mom. And so while he's running out, she's like, well, I have a meeting with your teacher later. And he's like, whatever, I don't care.
You'll find out there. And
yeah.
Whatever.
Like
yeah.
whatever happened, because yeah. she doesn't know why the teacher called her in. So, then she hears the dog whimpering again outside and she goes to check at what the dog's like. It's like, Lassie, what do you want to tell me?
Yeah.
And she goes over and there's a dead squirrel nailed to the tree. And the dog's just like looking at it and kind of yeah, alerting Cora.
And she's horrified.
Yeah, it's like, uh-oh.
And you know what happens? Kids who torture animals kill animals.
Kill animals. Okay. Kids who torture animals kill animals?
No. Kids who torture or kill animals.
Kill people.
Eventually.
Said animals, yeah.
Yeah, eventually.
So now she's outside and the mailman shows up and this mailman is totally spitting game to her.
Yeah.
And he goes, he's like, Cora.
What's the last time you said that?
I think I say that too often, probably for my age. I don't know. So he's like, what are you doing tonight? And she doesn't even say it's my son's. Actually, no, the son's birthday's the next day. I forgot. But he's like, what are you doing tonight? Are you too busy to go out? And she's like, yeah, it's not a great time. And he goes, well, I got to ask you once a year, you know. And so clearly it's been her mailman for a really long time. They must have been in this town for a long time. And so she says no. And he seems like a very nice mailman. He seems to know the family. He seems to know her son, whatever. That scene ends. She's now in school. And she's sitting next to a mother, and she's sitting in front of the principal, and then there's somebody else standing behind them. Like, who knows?
Teacher or whatever.
And you immediately hear the mother of the other parent go.
She's African American.
Yep. And she says, listen, Andy, your son, pulled all of my daughter's fingernails out.
Yeah. All of it.
Hold on. What?
Yeah.
In the serious fuck. How could anyone do that to someone's all of their fingernails?
Yeah.
Like what? And
that's
how?
That's like torture. That's not what they do, right? Like,
but all of them? Like, what? How would what did he do? Like,
held her down,
captive, in a closet in the school. I mean, this makes no sense to me.
Okay, just taking out logic. Okay.
Do one fingernail. Maybe if she had just said he pulled one of her fingernails out, it would have been a little bit more understandable. But 10 of them, 10 whole fingernails. That's pretty terrible. So. Basically, Cora definitely seems distraught. She doesn't really even know what to say. She's kind of like, oh, God, I'm just so sorry. I just don't even. How could Andy have done this? I don't get it.
But the most horrifying part
is
comes next.
The principal's reaction to the mother of the daughter.
And the teacher, right?
She goes like this.
She's like, what are you going to do about this?
The principal goes, hey, well, we haven't asked Stacy what she did, though.
We didn't know the whole story. Right, that's what she says.
Yeah, she goes, we need to ask. We don't know what Stacy did in this situation. And she's like, what are you talking about? She didn't ask for this. She's like, you know what though, kids can be. Kids can be difficult, or kids
says,
can be
like,
whatever.
She says, like, we need to know the whole story, the both sides of the story.
Yeah,
we don't know whether Stacy offended him first.
Yeah,
and immediately I thought, is this like a race thing?
I know,
right? Like. Yeah. And then she goes, you're going to suspend him, right? You can't be in school. Like, you have to punish him. And then she ends up.
Actually, you know what?
Stacy needs to stay home.
Yeah. Yeah.
She goes, maybe she needs a timeout, a little, you know, to reset her mindset, blah, blah, blah. So she is punishing the victim.
Yeah. And then the mom stands up and she's like incredulous.
Immediately, which is amazing. She goes, my lawyer will be in contact with you later today.
Yeah, and she got up and she said she said something a little confusing to Cora. She was like, you know, you've always been good to my family. She was like, you've always been good to my family, but this is just too far or something.
Well,
or whatever she said.
Well, this episode does allude to a lot of backstory that doesn't really get, because it's a short story, that doesn't really fill them out.
I just don't understand what that means. Oh, and I guess we should say too.
You don't have to understand it. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe, who knows? But right before after she saw the mailman and before she came to the school, Cora is putting a basket of cleaning products in her trunk, and she has on her kind of uniform that has her name tag on it. So it seems like she's a cleaning service, or she works for it. So who knows? But perhaps she's that mom's cleaner, house cleaner, who knows? But so the mom leaves and she's, Cora's still in the office and she's kind of in disbelief and she looks at the principal and she goes, wait, but you have to punish Andy. He can't get away with this. And she actually goes, he can't keep getting away with things like this.
Right.
And the principal goes, you know what? First of all, Miss Cora, I want to apologize for her actions just now. That mother, you know, just, I'm sorry. And so Cora's like, what? And then she starts saying, there's not going to be a punishment because look, this is the principal talking. Andy sent a message to us. And he showed us what? I forget.
He showed us his potential.
And she's like, we hope you support us in protecting him.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay.
So at this point, I'm like, okay, he's not a potential serial killer.
No.
It's something
now
bigger.
Now he's something much bigger.
And I was like, Antichrist?
Yeah, totally.
Something there. I was going, this has now become very a religious, there's a term when it's like the story becomes very, when he brings Christianity into it.
Antichrist.
Yeah, no, there's like a theme, there's a term for it.
I don't know.
But now it's become that, where it's like, okay, now it's religious.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So she keeps just talking about how special he is. And I think Cora is just like totally like stunned, yeah. Right? So she goes back at home.
She goes to Andy's room.
And she sees a note that says he's going to be at Rudy's house and yep. he's not going to come home. And so she's upset, but she's making him a birthday cake even still. And she goes to bed after he makes the birthday cake and no. She has a dream.
Oh, is this after, before she goes into his room to get the shoebox?
That didn't happen yet.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she basically is in bed sleeping and we see it's a dream, but it's of her past. Yeah. The day that she gave birth to him, she was, it was very foggy, very, like the view was, Karen Kusama, she decided to like not even show people's full faces. It was just like bits of faces around her. When Cora goes, my water broke, and there were a bunch of people around her and they were all like, oh, are you okay? Like, you know, you'll be fine, whatever. So it was just like the memory of the day that she gave birth to Andy 18 years ago, right? Yeah. And she's struggling. She's struggling with the fact that her boy is now a man or going to be a man. He's about to be able to vote, I think she makes reference to, and all this
man,
stuff.
Man, quote unquote, man.
The Antichrist, basically. So and then somebody goes, oh, he's a little angel.
He's my angel. Oh, he's
somebody
a little
said
angel.
Somebody said he's
yeah.
a little angel. And then like
wink.
And then part of the dream is so you see that historical moment, but then you see her laying in bed again, and there's almost like this little boy that's laying in front of her,
touching her face,
and on his hands are like really dark, long fingernails and like furry knuckles
and furry hair.
So you know, this dream sequence is a memory and then maybe like an allusion to, I don't know if that was him when he was really a little boy or if it was something.
It was like
know.
A mix with like her fears, right?
Maybe. Yeah.
Just a nightmare. Or was it actually that actually happened? You know?
Right. Right. So she wakes up to what I wrote was like animal sounds. I kept, it sounded like a horse. It kind of sounded like a horse sounds or something like that. Yeah, exactly. And so she goes and the bathroom door shut and she sees light coming out from under it. So she kind of opens up the door and you see Andy from behind and he's like hunched over the sink. And
this is not the dream. She woke up at this point.
She woke up to sounds, to animal sounds. And then she's like, she runs down to the bathroom. Okay. And then,
but in the dream, she wakes up too.
Okay.
That's not the dream.
Oh, no.
Remember she wakes up and she sees the boy's face.
Well, that's what I just said already. Oh, so now I'm like, now she's really waking up to animal sounds. I mean, we already covered it. So, and then she runs down and he's like pissed off at her for opening up the door. And he's like, you know what, Mom? You know what I want for my 18th birthday? Some fucking privacy. And he like.
She's like, what happened here?
And there's blood everywhere.
Yeah.
And.
But before that, you can tell.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, what?
And she goes like this. She was like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, but like your note said you were going to be out all night and I heard noises. So what am I supposed to do? Yeah. And he doesn't care. So he just like slams the door. Then he comes out and he like rushes past her, I think. And that's when she sees there's blood all over the sink and all over the floor on her white tile. So the next morning.
She was doing something in the bathroom.
Yeah, who knows? But all those like weird animal sounds were happening. So the next morning, she's sitting at the table by herself with the birthday cake. Yeah. What?
Masturbating.
That is too rough. I definitely won't touch his iPad. So the next morning, she's sitting at the table like sheepishly just with this cake. And he comes out to the sink. Andy comes out to the sink and just quickly goes like, she goes, happy birthday, Andy. And he's like, don't wait up. And he just runs out of the house.
Asshole, right?
And so he's a jerk. And then she starts cleaning blood off of clothes that she found, I guess, that were covered in blood. And then she's in the bathroom scrubbing at the floor like crazy. And there's blood everywhere. She's outside now hanging up the clothes, the laundry that she's just washed blood out of. And oh, hey, Mr. Mailman, now you're just like sneaking up on behind her sheets and coming to talk to her in your mailman uniform like a creeper. And this he really is actually a creeper, isn't he?
Yep. And this is where we find out kind of, you know, our sort of guesses, right? It's the short explains what's really happening.
And so and she, that people are in on it.
Yeah. So he basically says to her, right?
He's like, what's wrong? Are you okay? I think he says like something about like no rest for the wicked or like something about, he says something and yeah. she's like, oh no, I'm having a really rough day. And yeah. she's crying and she's like, I don't know what's happened to my Andy. And he's like, well, he's not really yours.
Yeah, not really yours. And that, and his real father is coming
for him.
Yeah, coming for him. And so now we're like, okay.
We're like, what the?
Now we're like, okay, devil worshippers. Is this
or
something, cult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
yeah
cults, it's very Rosemary's Baby. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what?
Well,
and
what,
that was the thing.
That's what she says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In that little video where the different directors and stuff were in it, Karen Kusama wasn't there, but they definitely said, you know, that her movie was definitely like a Rosemary's Baby, but showing the troubled teen that grows up from Rosemary's yeah. Baby, right? So,
and he basically, you know, basically says that
he's like, there was an agreement.
Yeah, there's an agreement that you sold.
He offered you.
Did he sold or offered?
He said there
you
was an agreement.
Him,
no, no, he right? he literally said he offered you. Your husband offered you is what he wrote, and then he was like,
"That's right, yeah."
Who do you think he offered you to?
Yeah.
And then, and he goes, I've heard the story 1,000 times. I've heard the story 1,000 times. I was like, what story? And he was like, in all these years, up until this glorious day, like now this day is here. And he's like, excited.
Oh, yeah. He's darkness. Like, what does he say? Something like,
praise is darkness.
Praise is darkness.
Like praise Jesus, yeah. but praise is darkness. And as he's like getting really riled up, she's running inside the house, like freaking
out. The rock. Yeah.
What? The rock? Dark. Wait, what was that? What are you talking about?
Yeah, The Rock.
The movie?
No.
Oh.
The wrestler, the actor. No.
I don't get it. Why are you bringing him up? What did I miss? When he said praise the darkness?
I just cut him out. He's half black, isn't he? The Rock.
No.
He's Samoan, but he's Samoan. Also half black.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Cut that shit out. all right. Okay, so she runs away freaking out, and then she runs inside the house, and I don't know what possesses her to do this, but she goes, and that's when she finds this box under Andy's bed or whatever.
Or something. She opens it up.
And it's full of like those dark fingernails that I just referenced.
Toenails and fingernails.
And I was like, is that a box of fingernails and toenails? And she's not even sure, and she looks at a few of them, and they kind of look like I don't know,
animal,
shark's teeth, you know what
yeah.
I mean? That's that so color. Nice, yeah. And she's looking, and then all of a sudden she finds a female's fingernail with the French manicure on it so that it's obvious it's a female's. So, yeah. And there's like skin attached to it and like a hair or something. And she just like panics. And of course, as soon as she sees this, she hears Andy. And so she drops the fingernail in the box. She closes the box up and she runs and she hides in his closet. And so he comes in and he's like, trying really hard to get to his bed to take off his shoes very quickly. And he's clearly uncomfortable. And, why is he uncomfortable? I bet you can guess. Well, his toenails have grown to be about 3 inches long and they no longer fit in his shoes.
And they're all pointy.
And they're all pointy.
And I think what's happening also is he keeps trimming them.
Yeah.
Like cutting them off and they keep going back like quickly.
Right.
And that's what he's doing in the bathroom.
You can't fight the demon, man.
Yeah. And he's like cutting them off in the bathroom. And it hurts and it's bleeding.
Yeah.
And they keep going back.
That's, right. Yeah. So kind of like Kirsten Dunst when she tries to cut off her hair when she's a vampire in Interview with the Vampire and it just keeps growing back.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. So she gasps when she sees him start trying to cut his toenails. And he hears her. So he goes up to the door and he like slams on it really scarily. And you're like, oh God, what's about to happen? But he just kind of runs away. And then you hear, I wrote that horse breathing again. You kind of hear this animal breathing. Rrr. It's always like, and he's sitting in the kitchen now.
Yeah.
Or standing in the kitchen or whatever. And she walks in, she follows him. So she's going to go confront him now, even though I'm like, don't poke the beast, but she does. And she walks up and he just starts talking first though. And he says, you know what, Mom, today, like a woman called me by my name that I didn't even know. And she said she knew my dad and that I was his only living son. And he goes, what does that mean? Because, and then she goes, no, your father married 3 times after me. And he does, he's got more children. I promise you. So I think what we're hearing is this. She had a husband. her husband sold her to the devil in order to probably become famous, to become this playboy famous man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so therefore she got raped by Satan. Okay. So she is still referring to Andy's father as that original guy, but clearly that was not the person who planted his seed.
Yeah, I mean, that's debatable, right?
That's what I think it is.
Yeah, it could be that, like...
Because she's trying so hard to tell the story to Andy that his dad is this movie guy and that he's a playboy and he sucks, but clearly it's the devil. And so...
Well,
and when the mailman said he, you know, your husband offered you, and who do you think he offered you to?
I know.
That's pretty clear.
I just also thought maybe, like, it's one of those things where, like, she's pregnant with the actor's baby, and he offered her, like, and the baby. Like, you know what I mean? That's your baby. That's, like, offered as a sacrifice or whatever. You know, now he's your, you know, yours to take and do whatever you want with.
Mm-hmm.
I, part of me kind of saw it as that way too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. But he's definitely like the son of the devil.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, and I mean, you can say actors or can be playboys, but they're definitely not devils. I'm just saying, I don't think it's that guy.
Da-dum.
All right. So.
Oh my God, that was bad.
Oh, shut your mouth. So basically, after she says that, he just comes out with, you know what, bow to me. I want you to bow to me. And I was like, whoa,
And crawl to me.
So she bows down very slowly, very, you know, she's scared, I think. She bows down, and not before she just kind of like crawls up though to him to kind of like beg him. Like she goes over and she just starts hugging his feet, his very hairy feet.
Well, she sees him. We got a good glimpse of his feet.
And she grabs onto his legs, and the camera cuts really quick to be just like this. You're looking up at her holding onto his legs, just like really pleading with him. And she stands up.
Stands up.
And she's talking to him, and she's having a very like panicked, kind of rushed conversation with him. As what happens is, by the way, like it's daylight. And this really cool thing happens with the scene where you kind of see a dark figure kind of come in. And when it comes in, it brings the darkness with that, with it. So all of a sudden, the entire kitchen's totally dark. It's nighttime.
This is where it goes down for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's weird?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she goes, clearly daddy showed up.
It's in payoff.
Daddy's here.
It's in payoff.
Because she says to Andy, don't look at him. You don't need to look at him. And she said, he doesn't get to make the choice to take you. You don't have to go
with him. You know,
you make the choice. Yeah. And he's crying at this point. I think he's really torn. And because I think he might have said something like, I'm going to go with him. And she's like, no, like you don't. Did he? I think for like a moment he did. And she goes, you don't need to look at him. Now, let me just be clear. You only just kind of saw like a figure move across the screen. You never see this daddy. You never see daddy, but you get the sense that he's there. Like his presence is there. And so they're crying. They're hugging really tight. And I don't know what she's saying. I didn't write it all down, but it's just a very passionate kind of speech to him about making his own decisions and like being his own person.
It was heavy-handed.
It was very heavy-handed. Yeah. And as they're hugging.
Like, I was like rolling my eyes. I was like, come on.
I think what happens is he kind of pulls away, but then he goes in and he hugs her. And so it's kind of like, okay, he's going to stay. And they're hugging so tight. And the camera's like, you can see
going
her face
and
you can see his face.
They're cutting back and forth.
And they're doing this like really interesting thing.
They're projecting someone's old face like onto each other.
I think they're projecting his face on hers and her face on
his.
There's
a lot of
wrinkles. Then it was
on
the Satan's
sides.
Face.
Yeah, or something.
That's what it was. Yeah. It was hard to tell, but they were projecting a face on top of each other's face, and it was very kind of trippy. And and you start hearing these like very crippling crunching noises, and all of a sudden both of them have a bloody nose, and then Andy starts screaming and he's got blood coming out of his mouth.
Yeah,
and
they both
fall to the floor. Yeah. And then the next morning, it's daylight, and two of them are still laying there dead with a pool of blood all around them.
With the
scene of the birthday cake right there on the table.
Yeah, with the happy birthday cake in the same shot.
Yeah,
like in the corner.
Happy birthday.
And that's how it ends.
Yep.
I think this story had a great premise, mm-hmm. and that this kid is like the grown-up Rosemary baby, or you know, sort of that storyline. Mm-hmm. And I think there's, you know how much I love possession movies, mm-hmm. and how like, you know, horror movies that deal with like the devil and you know, and God, or but so I was immediately sort of attracted to the storyline. How, oh my God, these might be devil worshippers, and this kid could be the Antichrist or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then for me, at the end, that kitchen scene, like, that just all just fell apart for me. Especially, even worse, even after you read me the Wikipedia of what it could be.
Yeah, so on Wikipedia... I was just like,
this is stupid now.
It literally says that the two hold each other so tightly that they crush each other's ribs, killing each other. Now, I will say, Wikipedia doesn't always have everything right. No,
yeah,
but
that's fine.
I'm
just saying that I don't like that ending either, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, and I don't know if I'd have any other explanation. I think what I said to you was like, oh, like, did the devil thing like stick something through the two of them? Like to kill them?
He was hugging them too. He was like, oh,
no,
my family.
You guys,
oh,
back.
Too much. Oh, shit.
So I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, maybe it's something like you can't break a bond between a loving parent and their child.
Oh, I don't know.
You can't just be an absent fucking father and show up like 18 years late. That's actually what she said. Oh, wait. Remember when I was like, she's making a passionate like plea to him? She literally said, he wasn't here for chicken pox and you're sick and you're being sick and going to school. He wasn't here for any of that. Now he's here now. And like you, he doesn't get to take you. That's exactly.
So stupid.
Stop making all these noises, will you? So I think that was again, like probably some underlying story there, but
it was okay.
Yeah.
It started great. And I just didn't like the word.
Interesting. Led. Well,
you know,
well, so, on Wikipedia also, I thought this was, this kind of summed it up well. Let's see. Rotten Tomatoes, by the way, I don't know if we said this, it had a 70% approval rating, which I guess I could agree. Yeah. And then it said, Bloody Disgusting's Ben Larned called the creation of the film a milestone. And said the anthology lives up to expectations and surpasses many male-dominated efforts of its kind, ultimately giving it a 4 out of 5-star rating. And then Sean Smithson, writing for Shock Till You Drop, said XX is marking the spot for the future of horror, and I'm ready for the second installment. So I wonder if they're already thinking about doing a second installment like VHS did. And then finally, this was, I think, kind of along the lines of what you and I are saying. David Rooney of The Hollywood Reporter gave a more nuanced review stating, while it's worth applauding the women to the four directive, the usual limits apply. With each short running around 20 minutes, there's little time to develop character or dramatic nuance, let alone lay the crucial groundwork to seed escalating terror. So I think that's kind of like more along the lines of what we're saying. I mean, I definitely applaud all the women.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that, like, I mean, Don't Fall skips all that, right? Goes right to the action, mm-hmm. right?
And shows there's like us, yeah. very little well, yeah, character well, yeah. development or anything.
Yeah. And the
although
first,
they do it kind of quickly.
And I think also The Box does a great imitation of Twilight Zone mm-hmm. and sets up these interesting stories. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have like, you know, 2 hours to develop characters for every story you're about to tell.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
But, this is what I said in the last episode, you know, and I'll just kind of end it with this, that I do always struggle with anthologies. I really do. Which
interesting
is
why you feel, why? I don't get it.
Because I never feel like I love any of them. I don't know. And I don't know if it's because I'm not feeling attached to the characters because they're, you know, you're not with them for an hour and 20, an hour and 45. I don't know. I don't know if it's because I don't like how open-ended they are, even though I don't know why I wouldn't like
so
something like that.
I should probably watch Southbound by myself then.
I'll watch it with you. Look, I told you, like, I have found something that I like about all these stories, but, you know, I don't know. They're just,
you know, I don't know. That's why.
They're not my favorite. Though, are we doing the 48-hour film project again this year? Because it's coming up. We'll have to make our own bad short story. No, I'm kidding.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get horror this year.
Is it in April?
I think it is. I don't even know. We got to see what weekend it's happening. Okay. But yeah, so, and no, it was fun. It was fun to watch. These are cool. I enjoyed it.
Yep.
Listener mail. All right, you can't keep doing that either.
you don't like anything repetitive.
Maybe it's not repetitive to our listeners. Maybe it's like they feel like they're like Cheers, what? Right? Like they're coming to the bar that they know and love with their friends.
Oh,
we're
not there yet.
Oh, really? Dang, that's harsh. All right, well, listener mail time. And this one is slightly different because this person didn't write us in. I actually found this person and I found what he wrote on Instagram. And he is at Matt_horror_fanatic. Matt Horror Fanatic. I follow him. I think he follows us on Instagram. And a couple of weeks ago, he posted, it was literally right after an episode where I reference, I think somebody wrote in, was it Freddy vs. Jason? And I think we talk about the franchise itself. And I think I reference how part 3 is 3D. And you were like, oh, I didn't know that. And I was like, yeah, there's some like bad 3D effects. Da, 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 da. So Matt Horror Fanatic, he posted a picture, like an illustration of Friday the 13th, part 3. It's pretty cool illustration. It shows
part 3D.
And you remember that one? And it's so funny. It is. It's the one where he like picks up the one guy by his head and squeezes his head so tight that his eyeballs pop out. I love it. So he writes, let's see, hashtag 80s decade of horror. Hashtag now watching Friday the 13th part 3. This film and franchise has always been very special to me. Along with part 2, this was the first horror movie I ever watched as a young kid with my parents. I remember being terrified while watching part 2 and my mom covering my eyes during the scary parts. Part 3, that's a nice mom. Part 3 was next up on the double feature my parents were having and I absolutely fell in love with it. And from that night on, I became obsessed.
They watched it back to back.
Yeah, man. Sounds like my parents. And from that night on, I became obsessed with scary movies, with this one always being my favorite for several years. The first 6 Fridays were also the first horror movies I ever owned, and my best friend and I watched them so much that we literally wore a couple of tapes out. Now that I'm older, part 2 is actually my favorite installment, but I love the first 4 and can never make up my mind in which order. I do know that whenever I think of Jason in this series, it's the one that always comes to mind, and it's the one I've seen the most. Despite Jason now being a pop culture joke, I've always found parts 1 through 3 to be genuinely scary. There is a real sense of isolation in the early ones. The atmosphere and music are both perfection, and no other franchise can hold a candle. No other franchise can hold a candle to the final chase scenes in these films. Not to mention, I very much prefer the more human backwoods animal that Jason is in 2 through 4 over the superhuman zombie he would become in later entries. I know, right? Although not the best film ever made, these films are examples that something doesn't have to be a masterpiece to be entertaining. It's fun, it's scary, and it's responsible for making me a horror fan. This is like the perfect letter. Like, or, you know, he didn't write this to us, but again, like, this is exactly what, you know, I was thinking and we were thinking, I think, when we asked people to tell us, like, what made them horror fans, horror fanatics. So I saw this and I was like, I messaged him and I was like, dude, do you mind if we read this out loud on one of our next episodes? So, Matt, thank you so much for letting us read this.
Thanks.
It was really enjoyable to read and it took me back to some of the same feelings I had about these movies too. Like, seriously, I remember exactly where I was. I remember being at my grandparents' house on a couch when I watched this one. I was with my cousins. I seriously do. Yeah. I mean, they just stand out.
What, the Jason movies?
They do. These totally do.
I remember watching them like at my friend's house with a sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm.
And we should, you know, we joke about them. And it's scary in the beginning. But then for me, it always becomes sort of like this slasher action flick near the end. They don't become scary anymore. It's like, oh, it's about how are they going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how creative are they going to get?
Right.
Like that sort of, you know, becomes that sort of game.
Yeah.
For me. But yeah, for me the scariest movie growing up was like Reanimator, seeing that at a 99 cent theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you watch it now, it's funny, comical.
It's like ridiculous, yeah.
But the practical effects in that were like the guts are hanging out, yeah, and like blood and like I was frightened.
Yeah.
I was just like, so Reanimator, Fright Night, I told you about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that movie. It's dear to my heart. Fright Night, Reanimator. There's one more. it was doing all that, like,
when Dead Alive
was when horror was like in the 80s, early 80s, mm-hmm. and mid 80s, when it was like they were mixing comedy with horror.
Yeah, Dead Alive. You've seen
was
that, right?
Was that mid 80s as well?
Probably.
I thought that was 90s.
Dead Alive?
Yeah.
Really?
Anyway, so.
Oh, no, wait. 92?
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
It feels so much older.
So I remember just thinking, like, oh my God, these are so, you know, like scary, but. And then I'll go watch them later. I'm going, oh my God, these are comedies.
Mm-hmm. But now I have to look up when Reanimator was made.
83?
85.
Okay. Yeah. You know that cat, like the black cat?
Uh-huh.
They're like injected, it comes to life.
Yeah.
And then they act like it's attacking them. And it's clearly a fake
I know,
doll.
I
and
know,
they're
I
like,
know,
ah!
I know.
And they throw it against the wall. And they... it's like a sketch comedy, like the whole scene.
Oh, I know.
And the fake cat. And I'm like, but I was, as a kid, watching that and scared. So a little funny story about that.
Mm-hmm.
Reanimator. If any of you have ever seen it, Reanimator, there's this really crass scene where like one of the main bad guys who doesn't like he has a decapitated head and his like Frankenstein like body is carrying his head in a pan like throughout the rest of the movie. He kidnaps one of the main characters, like the hot girl of the movie, right? And he sexually assaults her, right? They like these zombies, they pin her down. And he puts his decapitated head, like, between her legs. But mm-hmm. they don't actually show him, like, going down on her. But that's what, you know. And she's, like,
they
screaming.
Show him, like, looking up at her.
Yeah, looking up at her. And he's making faces.
It's
right?
disgusting.
It's disgusting. And she's naked on this table. Well, after that actor made that movie, his wife divorced him for making that scene. Yeah, filed
Whoa.
The divorce papers.
I didn't know that. Yeah, oh my God.
Don't make it fit.
I mean, it's one of the most fucked up
I
scenes.
I read that and I was like, you know what? I'm with her.
Yeah. That's a sick, twisted person to
yeah.
write that.
I mean,
it's kind of like, I mean, I know it's a cult classic, but that scene is so gross to me.
And it's so long and slow.
Oh, it's so painful.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, yeah. It's not on my list of things that I rewatch
it's not. Yeah,
a lot.
Well, no, okay, minus that scene.
Uh-huh.
Like it's fun. I think it's fun.
Yeah. Movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And that actor in Reanimator, the main doctor,
yeah.
I think he's going to be at the HorrorCon that we're going to.
Oh,
I
really?
I think, yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyways.
Well, really quick, I pulled this up. I was mm-hmm. going to wait for you to end the when you talk about
what?
Horror comedy.
Yeah.
The one that stands out to me the most that I always like love to remember, and I haven't seen it in a really long time
House?
Again. House.
Yeah.
It's like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And
you know that movie that I asked you to watch and you were like, oh, I've seen this a year and a half ago? Housebound?
Housebound.
Did you see the way they treated their type on the Housebound?
Was it like that one?
Oh, look it up. It's identical.
Really?
It's yeah.
Really?
They did it on purpose. If they didn't do it on purpose, they had to. It's literally like,
let me see,
an homage to
Housebound.
Look at the logo.
It's the same. Let me see.
Look at how the two lines and the H breaks.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. If they had done the S like that, yeah. I would have been.
But I mean,
like,
right?
Mm. Yeah.
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 But this has got the like Stranger Things look going on too, the original. But
that's not mentioned Stranger Things.
What? Why?
I'm just sick. I'm like, oh, it's greatest. I'm like, it's okay.
Okay.
It's you liked it that much?
I liked it a lot. I really enjoyed it.
You're with them. you're with the basics.
The basics? Okay, whatever. Look, Netflix is anything but basic, all right? They take chances on things. You know that thing did not... Nobody
you
wanted to pick that
you
up.
You have the basic package of Netflix, so...
What the fuck does that even mean? Doesn't everybody have the same, like, $9.99 or $7.99 a month? Like, what the fuck?
I don't know. Okay.
Made it anyway, now I want to watch House again.
Remember House 2? Logo, the poster for
yeah,
House 2?
Yeah, House 2 got even sillier. Like
Do you remember the poster, though?
I'm pretty sure.
Was that like two fingers?
The shocker. No, I'm kidding. House 2 movie. I gotta look this up now. Ew, is that real? It's like the same thing as number one, but he's got a key in his hand now.
Oh.
Look at it, literally. So the subtext is, it's getting weirder. Oh. It did. It totally got super strange. There was like I can't say the word right now, portals to like another time period in that one. Yeah. I didn't love that as much. House one is just like, that's my jam. They kept going, right?
Yeah, I think there's a third one.
I don't know. Yeah. But those were so anyways. Good. Do we have anything nowadays that are like horror? Oh, yeah, I guess Shaun of the Dead, like that kind of thing. I mean,
I didn't really like that. Shaun of the Dead.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did.
Okay.
Do we have anything
else? Apparently, I don't like anything.
Apparently, you are.
Apparently, I'm not a horror fan.
Well, kids, that's it for us.
Horror hater.
You really are.
I don't know what it is. Shaun of the Dead was like, I think it's because everyone was like, oh, it's funny as well, man. Sorry.
I don't know if I said this on an episode yet, but hopefully I'm not repeating myself. But if I am, it's fine. We do it all the time. I think I've decided I'm the Paula Abdul, and you're the Simon Cowell of this podcast. And Randy Jackson just doesn't exist. But
I'll live with that. Yeah, I can
live
with that.
Like, you're kind of a jerk. And I'm kind of like too nice, right? No, I'm kidding. All right, let's wrap this thing up. I need to go home.
Yeah. Get out of here. Get out of my house.
All right.
Get out of my house, too.
I am pleading. I'm actually pleading because we just ran out of listener mail. I'm pleading.
I'll create a Gmail account, a fake Gmail account. Send you all that. And then I'll be like, yeah. What? Wow, my God. His favorite movie or the horror movie is Fright Night 2.
Oh, wow. Weird. He's just like you, Minky. Yeah, so I'm literally begging you, write us an email at we're at onefinalscare@gmail.com. Please email us and give us something like Matt the Horror Fanatic just told us. Anything you have as a memory from your childhood or whenever, or maybe when you were in high school and you took a date to the movie theater and you saw a horror movie or whatever it was, like, give us something. Give us some email and we'll read it at the end of our next episode.
And everyone go out if you can. Go see Get Out. That's good.
Okay. I thought Get you out. Said it wasn't that great.
I didn't say that.
I thought you said like the last 15 minutes were the only good part.
I said that's when all the shit hits the fans the last 15 minutes.
Okay. Don't say anything. Don't say anything else. I didn't think that you loved it, but okay.
Yeah, that's all right. But it's good.
Duh. We already decided you don't like anything.
And also, The Void looks amazing. We're going to go see that.
The Void does look good.
We're going to go see that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that looks amazing.
Yep. Okay, so go see movies. Go to the movies. Stop doing that. Then write us an email.
Go see Evil Dead Musical in Arlington, Virginia right now. Oh my God. It's fun stuff.
Let's just keep... Look, but before you do that...
I'm plugging that for my friend.
Oh, okay. He's,
you know.
Stars in it?
No, he doesn't. Well, he's not. He's a bit part monster.
Oh.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, you won't get that joke and then you go and see it.
Okay.
He has a whole scene bit. It's called Bit Part Demon.
You're doing that whispering thing again. It's a bit part bling.
Hey, Jim.
Stop. I love you. Oh, my God. We're editing this out. All right. Okay. So email us onefinalscare@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram and/or Facebook. And that's at onefinalscare.
Yeah.
We got another cool ass friggin' fan video.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We're gonna have him on the show just for the shits and giggles.
If he ever comes into town. Yeah. Where does he live?
North Carolina.
Charlotte.
Yeah.
All right. So please follow us. Please email us and please subscribe to us and review us on iTunes if you could.
Yep.
Cause who knows how long we'll do this thing.
Okay, Tracy, wrap
but we
it
have
up.
To have.
You say wrap it up and you keep talking.
Listen, I'm just. You keep interrupting me and telling people to go elsewhere and go watch other things. What I'm saying is keep us alive. Please. All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Till next time.
Mickey Kim signing off.
And Tracy Matthews.
Good night.
Bye.